Hello and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy. This is Module 2 of the Windows Server 2012 Direct Access course. In this module, we're going to cover some of the key components of Direct Access. In the earlier module, we configured Direct Access with a simplified deployment. In this module, we're going to deploy Direct Access with a full deployment. Some of the key components of Direct Access are around the NLS server, which is very important in terms of detecting if the client is inside or outside the network. Because when it's inside, it will disable Direct Access, and when it's outside, it will enable Direct Access. The basic setup for this is to host an internal website where the client will try to access it, and once it gets a response, it declares that it is inside and will disable direct access. This URL is configured in the client's registry and is populated through the group policy settings in the wizard of direct access server deployment. The second component, which we have seen in the earlier module, was around name resolution policy table. As explained earlier, this component is responsible to give the client the ability to send specific queries to the internal DNS servers, which means whenever we have a namespace matching the query that the user has sent, we will send this to our internal DNS servers, and whenever this does not match, we will send it to our ISP's DNS server. For instance, if I'm browsing Microsoft.com on my Direct Access enabled client and I'm on the internet, I will not send it to my internal server unless explicitly configured so, but I would rather send it to my ISP's DNS server. But if I'm accessing something on the corp.contoso.com, I will send it to my internal DNS server. And this feature is called Name Resolution Policy Table. Another key component of Direct Access is NAT64 DNS64 support for IPv4 only resources. Windows Direct Access is an IPv6 only technology from client perspective. This means that clients can only access intranet resources accessible via IPv6 while connected remotely, and only if the client application itself supports connecting to an IPv6 resource. Intranet applications or resources are accessible directly via IPv6 if they are listening on the internal server's IPv6 interface. To allow access to internal IPv4 only resources, Windows Server 2012 Direct Access includes native support for protocol translation with NAT64 and name resolution translation with DNS64. To convert the IPv6 communication from Direct Access client to IPv4 internal resources. In the earlier deployment of Direct Access with the simplified method, we could see that we had established IPsec tunnel. In specific, we had established one tunnel where every communication was going through, which means from inside to outside and from inside to outside. However, in a full deployment of Direct Access, we actually have two tunnels. One of them is called Infrastructure Tunnel, and this is authenticated by computer certificate and computer NTLM version 2, or depending on the deployment, it might also be computer Kerberos through Kerberos proxy. And this is what I've shown you in the earlier module with the demo. The second tunnel, called Corp Tunnel or Intranet Tunnel, is authenticated by the computer certificate and user Kerberos. So the first tunnel is connected through the Direct Access server to access my domain controllers, DNS, or other internal servers, whereas the second tunnel is established in order to access rest of the machines in my corporate network. All these access requires transition technologies such as 6 to 4, Teredo, and IP-HTTPS. We have seen IP-HTTPS in action in the earlier module. This is basically the tunneling through HTTPS protocol in order to give the client the ability to reach internal resources. Teredo is another transition technology which kicks in whenever the client is behind a NAT device. And 6-to-4 is the transition technology which will kick in whenever the client has received a public IPv4 internet connectivity. The whole logic and the configuration is done on the client side automatically, which means whenever the client is connected to the internet, it is smart enough to understand what kind of network it is connected to and which transition method to use. Hence, it doesn't require any user interaction in order to get direct access working. In a specific deployment method, even a third tunnel can be added when you configure end-to-end authentication in transport mode rules. However, this is unlikely to happen as the most deployments we have seen in the past are with the end-to-edge module model where the server 2012 direct access is terminating the IPsec session on the server. Another great enhancement in Windows Server 2012 is around direct access server being behind a NAT device. Prior to Windows Server 2012, this was not possible. The requirement was to have two network cards, one connected directly to the internet without any NAT device, and the external network card had to have two consecutive public IPv4 addresses. This is a requirement for the Teredo probe. Now, with Windows Server 2012, the setup is smart enough to understand if the client is behind the NAT, and in this case, the configuration will only deploy IP-HTTPS as the protocol and will not use Teredo or 6-to-4. Now that we have talked about some of the key components of direct access, and there are a lot more, let's move over to a direct access single server demo with IPv4 only intranet and see how this works in a nutshell. I will start the configuration with the network location server's DNS record on our domain controller. For this, I'm opening the DNS console and will create a record to point to our network location server. I'm going to right click here, new host. I'll name the server name NLS, network location server, and put the IP 10.0.0.3, which is the IP address of my internal web server. Again, this web server does not have to have any specific site hosted. The default IIS website is completely sufficient for this. I click on add host. And I have created the record nls.corp.contoso.com. Click done. And the next thing I want to do is enable computer certificate automatic enrollment so that domain members automatically request computer certificates. For this, I'm opening up the group policy management console. I'm going to go over to corp.contoso.com. Select the group policy object, right-click the default domain policy, click edit. In the group policy management editor, I'm opening up policies, Windows settings, security settings. Under security settings, I'm going to click on the public key policies. And on the right-hand side, you will see Certificate Services Client Auto-Enrollment. I open up the policy, select the option Enabled. I will select the two options to renew expired certificates and update certificate that use certificate templates. And click OK. This basically is everything I need to do on the domain controller. So now that we have installed everything on a domain controller, let's move on to the application one server, app one, where we will install the enterprise root CA. For this, I'm opening up the application one server, going over to server roles, add roles and features, click Next, click role-based installation, select the server from the server pool, which is in our case App 1, select Active Directory Certificate Services, accept the suggested features, and accept everything as default setting suggested by the system. So next, 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 and confirm the installation by hitting install here. And now the installation starts. Now that the installation has finished, let's click here and configure. We're going to accept the default user suggested here, which is user 1, our domain administrator and enterprise administrator. Click Next, select Certification Authority, click Next, Enterprise CA. We're going to create a new root CA and create a new private key and accept the defaults for all the other settings for creating the CA. Once at the end, confirm the settings and hit Configure. Now that the configuration has succeeded, we're going to hit Close. Role services close automatically. And next, we want to configure a client-server authentication template for the auto-enrollment. For this, I'm going to click on Start, open up the certification authority, expand Corp App 1 CA, certificate templates, right-click, hit Manage, go down all the way to workstation authentication, right click and duplicate template. In the general tab, I'm going to change the template display name to match it our deployment by typing in client-server authentication. Because this is the certificate that we want to use by servers and clients. After doing this, I'm going to move over to extensions. And under application policies, since I have only client authentication, I want to add the server authentication part. And click Add, select server authentication, click OK again. And now we have server authentication listed here as well. Now under security tab, I want to select for domain computers the auto-enroll allow option so that they get automatically this certificate enrolled. Now click OK. Close the templates console. Right click on templates, click new, select certificate template to issue, and select client server authentication which we just created. Click OK. And now we have the certificate created here successfully. Now, an additional setting that we want to do is to configure the permissions on the web service certificate so that requesting computers can specify the subject name of a certificate. In this case, what we're going to do is right-click the certificate templates again, hit Manage. This time we're going to go over to the web server, right-click, go into Properties, and under security settings, what we're going to do is, for the authenticated users, we're going to give the permission to enroll under allow. Now, the authenticated user group is configured here to make this lab or this demo simple. In a real deployment, you would actually specify a specific security group that contains the computer accounts of the computers in your organization, and then request custom certificates, which will include the direct access server and the network location server. Once we have done this, click on OK and close the setting. Now that we're done with the certificate permissions, let's move on and obtain a certificate for Application 1 server. For this, I'm going to open up the MMC. Under my certificate store for my local computer, I'm going to request a new certificate. Click Next, select Active Directory Enrollment Policy, click Next, and in this case, Active Directory is now being queried for available certificates which I can enroll on the App1 server. Now, in this list, what I want to select is the web service certificate, and I need to provide some information in order to obtain the certificate. In specific, what I want to do is to provide a subject name, in particular a common name for the certificate. And in this case, because this is our NLS server, network location server, I'm going to create a common name called nls.corp.contoso.com. Click Add and click Finish. Now the certificate which is being enrolled right now is going to be used for the clients to understand if they are inside or outside the network. And since this is an HTTPS based communication, we need a certificate. And now you can see under certificates, I have successfully deployed an nls.corp.contoso.com certificate with the intended purpose server authentication. So now that we have configured the certificates, the last step that is required is to match this certificate in IIS to configure the HTTPS security binding. For this, I'm going to open up Internet Information Services Manager, select my default website, click on Bindings, and as you can see, I have only an HTTP binding. I want to add HTTPS binding here. Select HTTPS, and then select the certificate which I want to use, which is going to be the nls.corp.contoso.com certificate. Click OK, and now I have a binding for that certificate on port 443, and click Close. Right now, we have configured everything needed on the Application One server as being our Certification Authority server and our NLS server. As next step, we're going to go over to the Direct Access server and start configuring this. So let's move on to the Direct Access server. One of the first things what we need to do is to obtain an IP HTTPS certificate. For this, I'm going to open up an MMC, confirm UAC. I'm going to add the certificate MMC here, add remove snapping, select certificates, select my computer account, and accept the default settings. Once I hit OK, I have my certificate stored for my local computer. Under personal, I'm right clicking, select all tasks, and request a new certificate. Now I hit next, select Active Directory Enrollment Policy, select web server, click on more information is required, select common name again, and since this is going to be my IP HTTPS certificate, which I'm going to use externally, I want to put the value edge1.contoso.com, which is my external name in DNS. Click Add, and this time, under General, what I'm going to do is type a friendly name here, which would reflect what we're using the certificate for. In this case, I'm using it for IP HTTPS, so I'm going to make it simple. I select IP HTTPS certificate as my friendly name. Click on OK and enroll. So the enrollment succeeded. Click on Finish and let's confirm that we have a certificate with the friendly name IP HTTPS certificate. And the intended purpose is service authentication. So now that we have obtained a certificate, the next step is to move over to the remote access setup wizard and set up direct access. You might remember that in the earlier module, we used to run the getting started wizard, which was our simple direct access deployment. This time, we're going to use the wizard at the bottom, which is our full deployment. So let's select this. Select again, deploy direct access only. The server is going to check for the prerequisites and understand what kind of network the configuration is needed. Now in this case, the wizard is a little bit different than the simplified deployment. As you can see, we have step-by-step configuration and each step gets enabled once we have successfully configured the previous one. So let's go for step one and select our remote clients. In this case, we can select if we want to deploy a full direct access with remote management, or if we want to select the option to deploy direct access for remote management only, which means we don't give the clients the ability to use direct access, but only for the admins to manage those clients, which is also a valid option. In this case, we're going to use the one with the full deployment. So select next, then add the group which we want to use here. In this case, we're going to use the same group we used in the earlier module, which is direct access clients. Click OK. And now click next. In the network connectivity assistant, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rename the direct access connection lane. As you might remember from the earlier module, it was named workplace connection by default. So I'm going to use this time another name and select MVA 2013 DA as the option. What I'm going to also do is to give the option for the clients to disconnect direct access. And this is this option here at the bottom, which is called allow direct access client to use local name resolution. This basically bypasses NRPT table, and the client will not use direct access if you check this option. So let's click this, hit finish. Now the next step which we need to do is to configure the remote access server. So let's move on with this. Click configure. We are behind the Edge device. So we type in the server name, edge1.contoso.com. Click next. And now the direct access wizard is trying to understand what kind of network we're behind, how many adapters we have, what are the IP addresses that are configured there, is there any IPv6 dependency here that he needs to be aware of, so on and so forth. Now it comes back to us and replies that it had detected an external network on the internet interface, which is correct, and an internal network on the corpnet interface, which is also correct. As you might see, there is a note here at the bottom that says transition technologies are enabled for IPv4 support. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier with NAT64 and DNS64 support. So I'm going to accept the defaults and click next. Now here at this stage, we can choose different authentication methods. By default, it selects Active Directory credentials as username password. It is possible to use two-factor authentication with smart cards or one-time passwords. It is also possible to enable network access protection or support for Windows 7 clients that are connecting to a Windows Server 2012 direct access. We're not going to do this at this point, but we will cover them in a later module. So I'm going to use computer secretive keys here and click browse. Select the first certificate, which is CorpApp1CA, which is the certificate that I want, and hit finish. Now I have configured everything needed to deploy direct access. The only thing left is to configure the NLS server, which we configured on the App1 server. So I click on configure and type in the URL of the website, which I've configured to be my NLS server. In this case, the address is simply https://nls.corp.contoso.com. And I hit validate to make sure that the connectivity is there. And it comes back and reports that the connection was successful. At this point, I hit next. The URL is validated correctly. I have successfully can confirm that the name suffix are populated correctly. So I click next. And I can also see that it automatically detected that I have multiple domains here. This is also covered in a later module to give you an overview about a multi-domain deployment. But it already detected that I have a corp.contoso.com and a corp2.corp.contoso.com domain, which is fine. So we click on next and finish. Now, the last option here under step 4 is only needed if you want to configure end-to-end authentication, which we're not going to do right now. So what I have left to do is to hit finish and hit apply, so that the settings get applied and the group policies are created accordingly. If you browse here for more details, you can see that it prepares everything needed, checks the validity of the certificates, creates GPOs, links them to Direct Access server and to the clients, enables them on the Active Directory, updates the client policies and everything else which is needed to deploy Direct Access. Once the setup is done, we are receiving a warning here at this point. Let's browse and see what this warning is about. Now, the warning is about the two consecutive IP addresses that we have configured for Teredo. Now, in this deployment, we have configured two consecutive IP addresses on the external interface, which means we are able to use Teredo. The warning here basically says that Teredo requires ICMP traffic to be working in order to understand what kind of NAT device the client is behind. So this is just a warning to make sure that ICMP is enabled on the external firewall if there is a firewall. So we'll just hit close. And now we have configured everything needed for Direct Access full deployment. Now let's move on a little bit and understand how these policies look like. For this, I'm going to open up the Group Policy Management. And show you what policies Direct Access Server configures. Open up domains, corp.contoso.com, and now you can see that automatically the server has created Direct Access client settings and also Direct Access server settings, and also mapped this to the relevant parties. In this case, the server is matching for the security filtering Edge 1, and for the client, we're matching Direct Access clients. The other thing I want to confirm is the IPv6 settings. So for this, I'm opening PowerShell and run the command that I've run earlier actually, get netIP configuration all dash detailed and hit enter. So this is going to now query all the IP configuration on this server and give me an overview about what kind of configuration we have. So let me just go to the top here and let's go step by step. Now, the first interface that we see is the internet interface, which we have configured to be our external network. And as you can see, I have two consecutive IP addresses, 131.107.0.2 and 0.3. So this is my first IP address or my first interface. If you go down, we have the other interface called CorpNet. Now for CorpNet, as you can see, I have a 10.0.0.2 IP address and also an IPv6 address, which is also configured here. The next interface that I have is the IP-HTTPS interface, which I want to use for IP-HTTPS based communication. And this also has been populated with an IPv6 configuration. The next interface is the Teredo tunneling interface, which is also configured, but has yet not a full IP address, but a linked local address. This is because it's not yet used. The next interface is called 64 adapter, and it's basically my 64 interface, and is a conversion from my IPv4 public IP address to hexadecimal. This is the 2002 836P3. And the next interface is my IZTAP interface for my external part, izetap.isp.example.com, and the internal izetap adapter, which is izetap.corp.contoso.com. And here you can see I have an izetap connectivity enabled on this server. Now that we have verified everything on the server, the only thing left for us is to move over to the client. Now the easiest way to get all these settings is to reboot the machine while connected to the corporate network. And this is what I'm going to do right now. So I'm restarting the client one in order to get the group membership and the policies that are needed to have Direct Access working properly. Now that the client has rebooted, let's log on with the domain user and verify that our settings are applied correctly for Direct Access connectivity. For this, I'm just going to simply start PowerShell as we did in the earlier module. select PowerShell, run as administrator. As usual, we have to confirm UAC. And I'm going to run the command that I've run earlier as well, which is get dash DNS client NRPT policy, and we'll hit enter. And this will list us our NRPT policy configuration settings for the client, which we received through the Direct Access server. And as you can see, the policy is applied correctly, as we have a Direct Access DNS server IP address, we have a namespace which matches the whole setting as well. The next thing that I want to confirm is the NCSI setting with the network connectivity status indicator. For this, I'm going to type in get NCSI policy configuration and hit enter. And as you can see, this is the same command that we run in the earlier module with the simplified deployment. However, with a big difference, now that the domain location determination URL is our NLS server, which we have configured, whereas in the other one, it was a Direct Access server itself. As a last command, let's type in get DA connection status to get the connection status of the Direct Access client. And as you can see, it's reported as connected locally, which means we are inside of our corporate network and are not using Direct Access. So now let's move the client to the internet and see what happens with our connectivity. I'm moving the client to the internet network, hit OK. I will not want to share anything on this internet connection, so I hit no. And give Direct Access a little bit of time to come up with the connection. Now I'm going to run the same command again to see the status of the Direct Access connectivity. For this, I'm running get DA connection status again. And as you can see, now I'm connected remotely. And we can also confirm the same from the UI and confirm that we have MBA 2003 DA connection showing the status being connected. And if I click on it, you can see that I have now a disconnect button. This is only possible because we checked the option saying allow user to use local DNS name resolution, which is basically to disable the NRPT table. So with that option, we give the user the capability to disable the Direct Access connectivity by hitting disconnect. So let's do a couple of tests again to test our connectivity. Let's run ping inet1.isp.example.com, which is our external DNS server, DHCP server, and web server, which works fine. And let's ping the internal resource app1.corp.contoso.com and can confirm that we can access over Direct Access again the app1 server, which is our internal server. Now let's move on and confirm the same with Internet Explorer. So I'm going to type in inet1.isp.example.com, which is my external IIS server, so any website on a website on the internet. And I'm going to do the same with app1.corp.contoso.com. And as you can see, I can access the website internally. And as a last test, let's confirm the same by running run app1/files and access a shared file from our internal network. And this seems to be working fine as well. Now let's move on and type in get.netip configuration -all --detailed and try to get the IP address configuration from the client while it's connecting through Direct Access and see what kind of IP addresses this client is now getting. As you can see, we have a couple of IPv6 addresses configured. Let's look a look at the interfaces first. We can see an IP-HTTPS interface here and an ISDAP interface here, which both seem not to be configured because we don't have an IPv6 address here. However, the Teredo tunneling interface seems to have an IPv6 address, and this is apparently what we're using right now in order to get access to the Direct Access server. Let's run a specific command for the Teredo interface by typing in get-net Teredo configuration and hit enter. This lists us the Teredo command and Teredo interface details by giving us the Teredo server name and its state, which is by default qualified true. Let's type another command to get the details of our IP-HTTPS interface by typing get-net IP-HTTPS configuration and hit enter. And this is the same output as we've seen in the earlier module, where we get the server URL listed here and where the configuration is applied by group policy. Let's go over to the Windows firewall now and confirm what kind of security associations we have and how are the connection security rules confirmed on the client through the Direct Access server. For this, I'm going to expand again monitoring and take a look at now the connection security rules. As you can see, we have now four connection security rules. The one that provides direct access connectivity and the one that provides the infrastructure tunnel or the internet tunnel. The client to infra and the client to core, as you can see. Now, if we take a look at the security associations, we can see that we have main mode authentication and as well as quick mode. Both are established and we're running full IPsec enabled connectivity. As next step, I would like to switch over to the Edge One server, which is our direct access server, and check where the connectivity is shown on the server in the remote client status. For this, I'm selecting the remote access management console, select the remote client status, and here I can see the status of the remote client which is connected. And if I double click on it, as I did earlier, I can get the details around the username, the host, even the ISP address this time, and the protocol which is used. In this case, it's using Teredo. And I can see where it's connected, what IP address it has, how many bytes it computed, when did the connection started, and what kind of authentication method it was using. So now we have deployed a full direct access deployment with all the options needed in order to get direct access connectivity for our clients. Of course, there are additional steps that you can do to meet your requirements within your environment. However, for a full deployment without additional configuration, this is all you need to do. This was direct access single server demo with an IPv4 only intranet from the course Windows Server 2012 Direct Access. Thank you for taking time to view this course.